Hallelujah. You know, there's one of, I want to talk about you. One of the things that, you know, the thing I know Pastor Chuck, you know, one of the things, his voice, you know, when he speak, you know, with that love and you know, it's get to your heart, you know. One of the things that, the for me, the hard life, Pastor Chai's voice, the way he speak, you know, and it was beautiful, you know, it's calm and it's wonderful. You know, as we the believers and we hear the preacher say that we don't have image of the power of God nowhere around here. And the Holy Spirit told me, you know, because I always, that's what I hear always in church. And the Holy Spirit said, why they don't look someone that's walking in my love? Why they always looking somebody's walking in my power here in the earth? And you know why they're looking for the power? Because they want to elevate themselves. Well, but when we walk in the love of God, we surrender everything. You see, it's not about us. It's about God. And when we walk in the love of God, we surrender all our ambitions, all our desires, try to puff ourselves or elevate ourselves. And, you know, in God, start walking all the power of those things they want, because his desire to show his power in the air through us. But most important is the people see his love through us. That's what we have to seek. Look, you know, those who are walking in the love of God to inspire us to walk in the love of God. If we start seeking that power, because most of the time that we're seeking for that power is about ourselves. It's about, you know, oh, this guy is walking in the power of God. This guy is walking in this and that. It's about ourselves. Let's look at those who are walking in the love of God to inspire us to walk in the love of God, because that's what the Word of God says. You know, everything is going to pass away. Faith. What I can remain is the love. And the Word, we know us that we are son of God through the love that we are one for another. That's the things. God is love. Let's seek more those who are walking in the love of God. The seeking for who's walking in the power of God. Amen.
And this man walking in the love of God.
This one too. That one too. Hallelujah. Good morning, good morning. You know, something that's interesting about the voice is that what happens with it is not something that I naturally control. I know that when I sit down and I do sozo with something, there's something that changes in my voice that's not me. Because it just becomes different in the sound, the tones, and then the texture of it is just becomes different. And God does that, I believe, just simply because it gives people a way to access and know that there's a safety that's here for them. I wish I could say that was always me, but unfortunately, me and my faults are many. So, but we want to just be open and available. The deal is, what he's doing here is no different than what he can do anywhere with any of us. If he can take someone who's been so angry and so full of hatred, and yet do so much with him, what can he do for any of you? The love and the peace that I walk in, it's not me. It's not me. It's God. Those things are something that God has chosen to do. Those are something that he chooses to do in me and through me. But it was not who I naturally was. Could I have nice and kind moments? Obviously, everybody could. But the flesh is not the nature of the flesh. But the nature of God is such that it will transcend anything about us if we'll give Him access. The only thing that He looks for from us is to be yielded before Him. When we're yielded before Him, everything else can be dealt with. When we'll surrender ourselves, as Enrique was saying, if we'll surrender, if we'll just yield, allow Him to make that change. When we decide to allow Christ into our life, it no longer becomes about us. When we truly choose to make that so, change happens. There's only one person who is qualified to walk you through that change. There's only one person who's qualified to bring you into your inheritance and bring you into the place of destiny that God has declared for you. And that person is the person of the Holy Spirit. Because see, the Holy Spirit has come and His whole purpose is to bring you into that place of transformation. His whole design and His whole desire is to walk alongside you and help you to meet your needs, to help you to understand the purpose of God, to help you to understand the place of God. To recall all that the Lord has said for you and to you. He comes alongside us to be the comforter and the spirit of truth, to reveal that which is true and to debunk that which is a lie. Because see, as long as we're willing to buy into a lie, then we've still not really found truth. And unfortunately, when we begin to operate in a lie, then we've set a foundation for the enemy to stand on. So the Holy Spirit comes to lead you and guide you through those processes, and He comes most of all to bear witness of Christ to you and ultimately through you. So when I hear that voice change, I recognize that it's just another one of the ways that He's bearing witness to Christ. Because I know that's not me. Because I know that this is something that He wants to do, and then and I allow Him to just have His purpose and have His way. None of which is today's lessons, but I want you to turn to Ephesians 1 with me. Jeremiah 1 and 12 says, He watches over His word to perform it. You know, He watches over His word even when we don't recall that we actually had a conversation about it. Even when we don't recall necessarily that we had created a petition for it. I've actually found this week when I was going back through and looking for some of my constitutions and petitions before the Lord, that I had a petition that was answered this summer that I had no way to do in the natural. But I had made the petition and then stood for it for a year or so and then forgot about it. Well, that was 3 years ago now. And it came to pass this summer. You know, He was watching over His word to perform it, even though I had let go. He did something that I had no way of doing in the natural. But He's looking for His word. He's watching over His word. And see, in the same order that I did make a petition that I did know about, which was to be a pastor. And that was years ago when I was still working and had my own company and didn't know how to make a transition, didn't know if I was even supposed to make a transition, didn't know any of those things. But I made this petition and He's been watching over that. He's been stewarding over that. But it was really, what caught my attention was the very first verse that I used, the cornerstone verse that I used in that petition was this one. And that's Ephesians 1 and 17. It says that the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saying the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Because see, what I had focused on in that particular verse when I made that original constitution was that I might experience, it says, to know the hope of his calling. In other words, that I might experience his calling. That was how I phrased it. That's how I utilized it. That I would know and experience what was his calling for me. In other words, basically I was giving it over to him as, Lord, I'm surrendering this and I want to let you manifest what you see. But see, there's something else that has been happening for about a year and a half. I've been utilizing this verse in my prayer time almost every day. This collection of verses. And what I have found out is that this prayer here that Paul is giving, this prayer here is really the secret to entering into his grace. It's the secret to entering into his favor. It's the one verse that unlocks all those things. And there's some pretty tremendous things that come with that. You know, the other day, LaRue made a remark that, you know, you're walking in some pretty serious favor. And, you know, I hadn't really thought about it until he said that. And then I started looking back at it and I thought, you know, he's right. I am. Thank you, Jesus. And what I began to understand and I began to look, this is the reason why, this verse. Because it's calling forth the favor of God. We studied Proverbs 8 last week, but look at this. See how this ties into it. He says, right here, it says, the Father of glory may give you a spirit of wisdom. What was Proverbs 8 about? Spirit of wisdom. That the Lord may give you a spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom and the spirit and the Holy Spirit are the same spirit, but it's like a separate facet. Like a diamond has many sides, there's a separate facet or expression that happens where the expression of wisdom comes forth from the Holy Spirit. Go to Proverbs 8 with me for just a moment. I want to just take a look at a few things. Proverbs 8 and 12, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. You remember Prudence, she's Jimmy John's cousin, lives just down over on Main Street. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. Knowledge of witty inventions. Could that help somebody's life? Verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles all judge rightly. I love those who love me. This is wisdom speaking. I love those who love me. And those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring wealth and righteousness. Notice it says enduring wealth and righteousness because without righteousness, wealth does not endure. If there's no righteousness, wealth won't endure. Doesn't matter how much money you have. My first fruit is better than gold, even pure gold. My yield is the choicest of silver. I walk in the way of righteousness in the middle of the paths of justice. This is wisdom. To endow those who love me with wealth that I may fill their treasuries. Verse 27. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he described a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above and the springs of the deep became fixed. Verse 29, when he gave to the sea his decree. We've been talking a lot about decree. And that the waters should not pass his commandment when he appointed the foundation of the earth. Verse 32, now therefore, sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, do not neglect it. Blessed is a man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor or grace from the Lord. All that comes with wisdom, which is just one expression of the Holy Spirit. All that comes from the manifestation of wisdom. And as you speak and decree this verse over your life, what you're doing is you're imploring the Lord for this wisdom and the Holy Spirit to come into your life to make these things possible. You're giving Him an opportunity to change how you think. We are the product of what we have thought up to this point in our life. Don't look at me so scared. We are the product of what we have thought up until this moment in our life. It's really a whole lot more about what we think than what our circumstances are. How we choose to see and perceive the world around us and how we choose to perceive and perceive ourselves has a lot more to do with where we are in our success or lack of our success than anything about your circumstance. Because see, how we see ourselves contributes to the choices that we make. And when we start making those choices become actions, and those actions then become actual deeds that are in our life, and those things will determine what's going on. Right thinking will produce right actions. Now, I'm not saying that to bring condemnation, because sometimes we might feel condemnation because, well, you know, Lord, I'm not where I should have been. But we can start today. We can start today. And it's amazing how much the Lord can make up to you once you start. How He can bring restoration to those things that have been stolen. Because see, the enemy is really good about taking us and leading us down a trail to steal from us. But when we get wisdom, now we begin to see the trail before we have to travel it. When we get wisdom, we can understand the end of a thing from looking at it from the beginning. There's something that the Lord wants us to do. Each and every one of us has a purpose and a plan in our life. And what He's looking for us to do is make a choice to prosper. To make a choice to succeed. He wants each one of us to look and make a choice to follow after Him. But it all comes down to your choice. There are people who are born into projects who go on to become multimillionaires because they make a choice. Their circumstance didn't limit them. In the same time, there are people who are born with a silver spoon in their mouth who go on to become nothing because they made a choice. What you'll choose to believe about yourself, what you'll choose to grab a hold of and pursue in life, is about what comes out of your decision and how you begin to perceive yourself. Go to Mark 7 with me. You know, what I always strive and desire to do is to teach, and I'm trying to refine that even more right now, is to teach out of the present mind of the Lord for this moment. For the last 6 weeks, He hasn't even let me prepare in the way that I would normally do, because He says this, and if you're ever desiring to teach, I want you to remember this. I want you to teach out of the revelation, or out of the relationship, rather than the preparation. Because if you'll teach out of the relationship, then the thing that they need the most, they will get. And that's what enables the present mind of God to be delivered. Because see, something that was true last week and something that you were needing as a group last week may not be the thing that this week calls for. Not throwing stones, but in many organized religions, they have a chart, and every 3 years you go through all these things. And so on the 50th week of the cycle, you're going to be at this place, and those verses are going to be what you study regardless of where your present day need was. I want to deliver to you the present day that as much as I am able to. When you're teaching, if you will teach also out of the image that God is presenting before you. Why am I telling you that? Because somebody in here needs to understand what it is that they're to do. If you try to just memorize the lines, you'll never be able to present the picture in the same way. And I understand that there are some people who go and they'll just rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it to where they say the same thing each time, every time. But you're never going to deliver the thing that God's looking for as specifically as if you will speak out of the image of what God was trying to convey. So don't be so worried about trying to remember a specific word or a specific sequence of events, but remember and look at what is the image that He wants to be released right now. When you know what that image is, then just look at it in your mind and speak out of what you see. If we're talking about transformation, then you'll look at the picture of transformation and know what verses go along with that, and you'll be able to release it. Let's go to verse 18. Well, basically, he's dealing with the heart of man here. And in verse 18, he says, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it goes not into his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated. Thus he declares that all foods are clean." And he was saying, that which proceeds out of a man, that which is that which defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit and sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile a man. Obviously, we're looking at it from the negative standpoint in this particular scripture. But it doesn't matter because it's the issues of heart. It doesn't matter whether it's the evil things or the good things. It's the things that are within the man and within the heart that define who you are. It's where our thought life is. It's what our thoughts are looking to. It's what our thoughts are focused on that define who we are. The Lord told me recently, "I'm upgrading your associations." And we look at that as a social thing, and it is. But see, it's also a mental thing. He's wanting to upgrade our thought life, our thought associations. Because see, as we upgrade our thought associations, then we can actually begin to understand who God really is. We can know Him in a newer and deeper way because of a different set of associations. We can begin to relate to those that are around us and the world around us in a different way when we understand the associations. If all of your associations about a particular subject are negative, where does the good come from? When we begin to understand and look at something and begin to see out past the limits, if our associations are only within a small geographical structure, for example, if the only place you've ever been in your whole life is a 5 or 10 mile square area, then you don't have any associations with what life is outside of that. You can't begin to perceive what life could be in another place. And what he was really talking about is, what about the associations that come just simply because they're your comfort zone? Most of the associations we have in our thought life exist because it's either safe or unsafe. And if it's unsafe, then we try to cut ourselves away from it as much as possible. We grow up doing that as little children. We don't even think about it. It's just something that's an automatic thing, like sitting on a chair. You do it because it's what you did once to protect yourself. But now you continue that same method and mode of protecting yourself even into your adulthood when it's probably not even necessary anymore. Those associations are why people with insecurity may be totally retiring or very boisterous and aggressive and arrogant. Because there are certain associations with how do I create my safety. A gentleman was describing someone and said, you know, well, we forgive them for being insecure. He's like, well, how'd you know that? I said, well, because it makes sense. All the things that you're describing to me tell me that there's a great insecurity in this person because they're trying to justify themselves to the outside world with these other actions. Because there's those thought associations. So he's wanting to upgrade our thought associations. Because what we'll harbor in our heart will eventually be released. If we'll harbor greed and gossip, then that's what gets released. But if we'll harbor love and goodness, well, if we'll harbor hopefulness, that's what gets released. When we'll harbor a vision, and well, that's what we're really talking about when we're talking about understanding and hanging on or keeping your word, the word that the Lord has given you, what he's talking about is holding on to a vision until it comes to pass. Because see, if you hold a vision, those with a vision can begin to fulfill the law. Those with vision can begin to come into a place where life gets described by the vision instead of the vision being described by life. If God came to you and said, I want you to support 1,000 orphans, what would you say? What would the second thing you say? How do I do that? How do I afford that? How do I afford that? How do I pay for that? But see, if you come to the place of allowing the vision to speak to you first, and then the vision will begin to describe to the circumstance what's going to happen. When you become sure enough of that vision that you begin to step out in it, then that's something that's called faith. And it releases God to go with you, to go before you. And suddenly you find yourself supporting 50 orphans and then 100 orphans and then 500 orphans and then you're at 1,000 orphans. And it didn't seem any more different than it was before because now it's faith working for you. When our associations become associations with God and His way of thinking, that's the place of receiving. In order to receive from God, we have to change how we think. Man, it's got really quiet. In order to receive from God, it requires that we change how we think. Because see, when we have the association of faith with this project, now we can actually see it becoming to pass. But we have to allow the atmosphere of heaven, which is called faith, to saturate that project and that vision inside of us. And when that faith comes alongside that vision, suddenly there's a place of impartation that allows us to receive. There's a purpose to the wisdom and understanding that God wants to release to you through the Holy Spirit. And that's to bring you into the place of having the atmosphere of heaven around the vision He puts inside you. The atmosphere of heaven around your understanding of faith and family, around your understanding of what it is to be in the workplace or what it is to be wherever it is He's calling you to be. He gave me a phrase this weekend. In it, he says, fidelity of thought. Fidelity of thought. And he even went and gave me a definition. It means to be true in word and intent. To be in unity with the whole. In other words, the greater purpose or relationship that it's going towards. You understand fidelity in a marriage is to be one, to be honest and open and whole with the person you're in relationship with. Well, fidelity of thought is to be that same kind of relationship that he's trying to forge in our thinking to where we're whole in this relationship with Christ. Where we're whole in this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because see, the Holy Spirit wants to come and he wants to have a communion with us that's not just once in a while for a 5-minute prayer time. He wants to have a communication with us and a communion with us that's an unbroken fellowship that as we're walking and as we're speaking, he's speaking in us. Where it's a continual, constant flow, because see, out of your belly shall flow a river of living water. And that living water has to come from a flow, and that flow is the flow of the communication of the Holy Spirit in you. Out of a purpose, a fidelity of thought. See, because there's only one who's going to reveal to you, if you go to 1 Corinthians 2, there's only one who can reveal to you the whole purpose of God. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man who is within him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. See, he's talking about the Holy Spirit knowing and understanding the heart of the Father for you. Knowing and understanding the heart of the Father that he wants to release to you, in you, and through you. When we see that he is the one who's capable of bringing us into that place, then all of a sudden it makes everything else be in alignment. Holy Spirit's purpose and intent is to reveal God's purpose in you. It's his glory to release your destiny. Let's go to Isaiah 55, because you'll find that this one's a familiar scripture. But no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And John tells us that he comes to reveal, disclose, and transmit those to you. See, what we find here is Isaiah is ministering to a group of people who are panic-stricken. He's ministering to a group of people who can't see their way out of their present situation because, see, all of Israel's already been carried off. And now the Assyrians are coming for Judah. So their whole thought is, goes like this. The Assyrians are coming! The Assyrians are coming! The Assyrians are coming! And they understand that's not going to be a good thing. But here's what the Lord has to say. Verse 9, Isaiah 55. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout, and finishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. That is the nature of decree. That is the nature of decree. Because see, when God decrees a thing, it's going to come to pass. He said that it wouldn't come down without causing the earth to bear and sprout. Without causing that which is natural to come into a fullness of harvest. And then that fullness of harvest is your provision. And that fullness of harvest is not only your provision for the current, represented by the bread, but your provision for the future, represented by the seed. So he says, in the same way, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He's not saying that you can't have his kind of thoughts. He's saying that when all your focus is on the Assyrians are coming, and all you're looking at is the calamity and the fear that's created by that thought, then you're missing the whole point of what I'm trying to tell you. When you're busy looking at the circumstance in your life, then you can't focus on what he's actually trying to release to you. Say that again. When you're busy looking at the circumstance, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the very thing that's distracting you from the very word that he's trying to give you and to release to you. And that very word that he's releasing to you is the very word that brings you into the place of provision and sustenance. Provision for the present and provision for the future are released in God's word. It's released in his decree, and he even delivers that word with the promise that it will come to pass. He says, it shall not return to me empty without accomplishing that which I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. And see, all of this he was telling them because he wanted them to focus on one thing which he mentions up in verse 6, which is the whole purpose of what he had always been trying to do with Israel and with Judah. Because now at this point, they're split two different kingdoms. Verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Well, Pastor, it's been a long time since I felt him near. Let me tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie. It's a lie that the enemy has somehow put into your life and into your thinking, because the Lord is just as near to you as your next thought. But we have to come to a place where we understand that and are able to believe. There are all kinds of scriptures we can give you to show you this access that we have with God. But you have to take it on faith. At some point, it doesn't matter how many scriptures are pointed out. At some point, you have to take it on faith that he's here for me. Sometimes it has to dawn on you that the very reason that he offered you salvation is because he wanted to have a relationship with you. And he can't have a relationship with you unless he's able to engage you in the fullness of conversation. There's a fullness of relationship that comes when he begins to dialogue with us. He begins to show us who he is. There's a fullness of relationship he wants to draw each and everyone into, because see, that's the place where he can reveal to you the greatest amount of love. That's his desire. And you're one thought away. You know, because one of the biggest things that we can do is we come to a place where we create barriers that aren't actually there. We allow ourselves into a distraction here and a distraction there. We allow ourselves into a thought here I couldn't possibly give that to him, presentation issue. The reality is he paid the price of your sin and he's not scared of it. He says right here, I am right here, just a thought away. Just choose to recognize me and I will joyfully interface with you. Rest in the assurance of my ability to express the Father's thoughts and desires for you. I will give you authority over every distraction and every need if you will yield them to me. Open your heart to receive a new level of trust and a new level of faith in me. What you can surrender to me determines what I can do through you. In your yielding is your success, for I can add my authority to those who are yielded. What passes as authority in the realms of men is surpassed by those who will yield to me. Authority in me will set them free. That goes back to what Enrique was talking about earlier. When the authority in you becomes about what will set them free, then it's in proper order. If you're seeking authority just for your own, then it won't have that same effect. But when you seek for what it will do for them, when you seek for what it will do in another, now it's in proper order. Fullness comes as you yield. for I can bring all things to the yielded heart. Things in the natural, because we do have needs. Things in the spirit. Things for healing. Things for provision. Things that create release. And things that bring increase. I am not afraid to bless you. Are you prepared to receive? Are you prepared to receive? The Lord wants to bring us into a place of understanding the blessing that He already has extended towards us. It's already there. He wants us to understand this tremendous love that He's already manifested towards us. He wants us to come into a place where we understand and walk in this peace that goes beyond a mental ascent. He wants us to walk in this love that goes beyond anything that we've ever experienced. And in the next moment to go beyond that love. And in the next moment to go beyond that love. And in the next moment to go beyond that love. Because He wants us to understand who it is that He created us to be. He wants us to understand the fullness of His heart towards us. And as we understand the fullness of His heart towards us, then all of a sudden we can stand up and say, yes, Lord, I can do this that You're calling me to do. Yes, Lord, it makes sense to me. It makes sense to me to do this, Lord, that You're showing me to do. Yes, Lord, I'm delighted to represent You. He's not interested in our works for the sake of works. He's interested in us from a standpoint of how can I have relationship with You? What can I do to create greater relationship with You? Standing in faith. There's not much that's going to create a greater level of relationship than standing in faith daily. Recognizing He has a purpose and a plan and standing in that faith daily. Seeing His provision for you daily. Seeing His understanding for you daily. We're just one thought away. We're one thought away, one belief away from having that communion with Him. And He said, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, there's a couple things that I found that make hearing God a whole lot easier. Number one, forgive. Forgive God. First and foremost, forgive God. And forgive yourself. That's number two. Because if we'll forgive God and forgive ourselves, we've dealt with most of the issues that can come up between us and God right there. Because see, it's really hard for me to come to someone and get next to someone when I'm still mad at them. There's no one that we want to be around if we're still mad at them. And unfortunately, sometimes when we're mad at ourselves, we don't even want to be with ourselves. So therefore, we can't even possibly conceive that it would be okay to be around God. So we got to deal with those two issues. The last two issues are really a lot alike, a lot more than people in a church want to think. And one is religion, and two is witchcraft. Repent of both. Because see, when you just have this empty religion, it is witchcraft. So when you repent of both and when you have an openness of heart, there's nothing left to stand between you and the Father because Jesus already paved the way. It's not even about your faith because Ephesians 3 and 12 tells us that it's by the faith of Jesus that we get access to the Father. I don't even have to stand in my own faith. I just have to stand in the assurance that Jesus already paid the price and His faith is more than enough for me. So I allow Him to do it. Hallelujah. We have to recognize that as we go through life, that if we'll look at the things that the Lord is showing us, that favor will come through this interface with the Lord. The favor will come as we're able to yield to Him and give Him the space to reveal His grace in us and to us. And that He will be continually looking after the word He has given you, even long after you've forgotten about it. Allow the word He's planting in you to grow up. Allow it a place to have maturity. Because see, out of that place of the word growing up and having maturity comes the favor, the grace, He wants to reveal to us. There's something that the Holy Ghost will release in your life as you stand in the place of communion with Him, as you stand in knowing that it's His desire to manifest the best God has for you. Romans 15 and 13 says it this way. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, it's the power of the Holy Ghost that releases things in your life. It's what brings the transformation and releases the authority for God to make a difference. And just as He comes alongside you to create new ways and new patterns of thought, a new fidelity of thought, He will come alongside you to minister peace, to minister in joy. He will come alongside you to release the fullness of everything the Father has. Hallelujah. Father, we come to a place, Lord, of coming before You today, and we just ask You, Lord, for Your forgiveness. Lord, we come and we repent for the things that we've held against another. We repent, Father, and we extend forgiveness to them. Lord, we extend forgiveness to You for anything that we've misunderstood You in. For anything that we have perceived that You've done. And Lord, as we come, Lord, to present an offering to You today, Lord, we just present our heart to You first. We ask You, Father, for Your leadership in our life through Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank You for the grace that we receive as this Holy Spirit comes to habitate and commune and fellowship within us. Lord, we thank You for the goodness and the glory it is to know You. And we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.